Okay, good morning, everyone. I just want to thank everyone for giving me this flexibility to going on Zoom. I don't want to go on Zoom, to be honest with you. I prefer in-person learning when we can. Baruch Hashem, we can. But I thank all of you that have moved around your schedule, maybe even davening early, giving up some sleep, and going on Zoom just this one time so I can accommodate my family and not get in trouble with my wife. So I greatly appreciate everyone's bending their schedule a little bit.
Very kitzer. Wish you a big mazel tov.
Amen. Thank you very much, Michael. Much appreciated, everyone. Important announcements. Next Sunday in Mirz Hashem, we will have a special shiur. I know we don't have everyone on here, but I'm sure Michael will spread the word. We'll be having a special shiur next Sunday, L'chavit Shavuos. We will be delving into the topic of Birchas HaTorah, the lumdus behind Birchas HaTorah. I know we already had a shiur years ago about women and Birchas HaTorah. This is slightly different. We'll be discussing the lumdus behind Birchas HaTorah. It's a bracha we say every morning, and it's kedai, at least before Shavuos, to understand what exactly we are saying. So that will be Mitzvah Shem Sunday morning. Following Sunday will be Shavuos, and then Mitzvah Shem will pick back up after Yom Tov. Okay. Very big kitzur, Rabbi. Last week's parasha was a lot to talk about. It was a very exciting parasha. I'll share with you one very, not necessarily a divrei hisayrus, but a very cute pshat. Something to think about. I heard this from Rabbi Tzal Radinsky. In last week's parasha, the Torah says that when you'll eat, and then it says your animals will eat. So the kasha is asked that we know the halach is that a person is mechoyev to feed his animals before himself. So if the halacha is you mechoyev to feed your animals before yourself, why in the psukim, at the beginning of the parasha, does it say first you will eat and then you will give to your animals to eat? So Rabbi Radinsky wanted to answer based on an interesting sheet of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. For those of you that have pets, you maybe could appreciate this of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that the chiyuv to feed your pet first before you is only if the pet produces for you. Let's say, for example, you have a cow that produces milk for parnasa, or you have a chicken that produces eggs for parnasa. So then you have a chiyuv to feed your animal first, al sakaris hatoif. Your animal is your parnasa. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, let's say a guy has a pet dog, a pet fish, a pet parakeet. You're doing more than the animal is doing for you. You spend more money on the animal than the animal brings in for you. In that case, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said there's no chiyuv of the mitzvah of feeding him first. So he wanted to say, that's pshat on the psukim over here. We're talking about the Shemitah year. In the Shemitah year, the animal doesn't work for you. So if the animal doesn't work for you, so really you're benefiting more than the animal is. So in such a case, he argued that there is no chiv to feed your animal first. And since there's no chiv to feed your animal first, that's why the Torah rewrote the order of first you, then your animal. He did point out that he once went to speak to Reb Chaim Kanievsky about this chiddush, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky did not accept it halacha l'maisa, meaning it would be very negay. If a person has a dog, he has a cat, he has a bird, so according to this, he would not have to feed the animal before him. He could eat first, then feed the animal. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky told him he's not willing to say that halacha l'maisa. Interesting takeaway from last week's parasha. Okay, in any case, let's get back to the sugya we're holding right now. We're in the middle of a very geshmaka sugya. We're trying to figure out when a person has two punishments. He does a crime that gives him malchus and mamonis. Which of the two does he pay? So the Gemara says, we're going down the camp of Ula. Belined, when we get back to the sugya, probably in a week after Shavuos, we're going to see that there's a machloikis with Ula. There's a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan happens to hold that when malchus and misa come in conflict, you actually give the malchus, not the mamonis. We're so stuck on Ula, because Ula says that whenever Mammon and Malchus come together, the halach is that you pay and you don't get Malchus. But we're going to see, Mr. Hashem, a few weeks, that there's a sheet that says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, milka loki mishalim loy mishalim, you don't pay. But we're holding first in Ula, we'll deal with Rabbi Yochanan later. In Ula's world, when a person does Malchus and Mammonis, like a guy punches someone in the face, breaks his glasses, gives him a black eye, so the halach is, in such a case, he has to pay him money, he also has to get Malchus. So Ula says he gets Malchus and he doesn't pay. So the Gemara had a back and forth last week about which one is really more chomer. Of the two punishments, of the two payments, which one is more chomer? Is Mammon more chomer? Or is Malchus more chomer? So the Gemara works it out, and the Gemara is going to work it out again today. So we spoke about last week the Chassam Sofer's Kasha, as well as the Kasha from the Chazon Ish. Like, what type of question is that? Is Mammonis more weaker, or is Malchus more weaker? It L'chaira would be dependent upon the debt. If a guy owes $100 million to somebody, so then you'd assume that the 30 lashes that he'll get, which presumably will heal at some point, are probably not as bad as $100 million to pay back. But if a guy has a debt of 10 cents and he's going to get 35 lashes, anyone would go for the 10 cents over the lashes. So the Gemara has a back and forth. So we learned like the Chazon Ish's Mahalach. The Chazanish's mahalach of the Gemara wasn't which one hurts more or which one is less painful. The Gemara Shailu is which one is more, is the one to use. Meaning, each one of these two payments has a pro and a con. For example, if you pay the money, so then the nichval, the person who lost his money, gets paid back. He's not out money anymore. So that's a plus, says the Chazanish, for why you should pay and not get malchus. Masha'ike, says the Chazanish, but the malchus is a cleansing process. The malchus will give kapara to the guy who did the crime. So the way the Chazanish learns Zigmar, it's like a moral dilemma. Of these two very important punishments, I could only give one because of Kedei Rishasai, and now I'm presented with a dilemma, well, which one do I give? Do I say, well, I need to help society, I need to help the nichval, I need to help the victim get back his loss? Or do I say, no, I need to help the damager, I need to help the mazik get his kapar? So it's a very moral dilemma-based question to which the Gemara goes back and forth with. So Tosfos has a kasha right off the bat. Tosfos by us, it's a small Tosfos. Tosfos has the following question. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin according to Ula that you're mishalim v'ein aloike. According to Ula, when you do a crime that carries both punishments, Ula taka holds, you get the light, you get the mominus and not the malchus. So Frek Tosfos is a very simple kasha. The imtoimar it gurei itkar. Fractations, I don't get it. On the tzad of the Gemara that Momonis is takakal, on the tzad of the Gemara that Momonis is the lighter of the two punishments. So how could Ula give you always the lesser of two punishments? The Gemara says like this in Sanhedrin, Gabi Mishan is chayv shtei misas. Taisus is making a little bit of a jump over here, which we'll see that the Echorin point this jump out in a second, but Taisus is asking like this. What would the din be if a guy does a crime? A guy does two crimes. And he now has to get the death sentence. Now, he can't get the death sentence twice. So Bezdin has to figure out which one is the more harsher of the two punishments, and we'll give him that death sentence. So Frek Taisvis, so what do you see from that Gemara? You see from that Gemara that when Bezdin sits down to give punishments, Bezdin does figure which one's the harder one, and Bezdin gives the harder of the two. So Frek Taisvis, so why over here? When a guy has Malchus and Mominus, so Bezdin's going to give him the Mominus. But on the Tzad of the Gemara, the Mominus is the Kal of the two. That means every single time the guy's getting the lesser punishment. But we see from the Gemara that he's supposed to give the stronger punishment. So Frek Taisus, if you hold that Mominus is Takakal, meaning if you hold that Mominus is more Chomer, so then everything is very Geshmak. Mominus is more Chomer, and that's why you always have to pay Mominus. But if you hold, like the Gemara had such a possibility, that Mominus is more lenient than Malchus, so every single time, according to Ula, you give Mominus and not Malchus, you're giving him the lesser crime. What happened to this Gemara in Sanhedrin that says we want to give him the stronger of the two punishments? That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos answers, V'yeshvayimah no, d'shani hocho d'chos rachmona amemoynish al-nichval. Says Tosfos, maybe you're right. Maybe really the stronger of the two punishments is the Malchus. So why are you going the easy way out for the Mominus? Says Tosfos, because we have a compelling argument over here. Because we have the nichval over here. We have a person who's out money. The guy's shirt was ripped. His glasses were broken. So he's coming to us and saying, listen, where's my money? And we say to him, well, I'm sorry, we have to give him the stronger punishment, which is Malchus. The guy says, very nice, but it's on my dime. You giving him the stronger punishment is costing me money. By the case of Misa, it doesn't cost me any money which way you kill the guy. That's an example, a guy killed two people, right? He killed one more severe and one more less severe Misa. You think the family's going to get insulted? The family's happy that he's getting killed. They don't care which Misa he gets. Bezdin has to give the stronger Misa. But else the victim, as long as he's being killed, the victim is happy. But for Zog Taisus, but over here, there's a victim. The victim says, what do you mean? You're going to give the guy Malchus, but that's on my money. Right? I'm going to lose money because the guy broke my glasses, he ripped my shirt, and I'm not going to see any money from it. So therefore, says Taisus, the reason why over here we take a give perhaps the lesser punishment is because we have a victim here, and we need to be concerned about the mumminess of the victim. So explains Taisus. Seems very logical. Again, it seems like Tosfos is looking at the sugya maybe the way the Chassam Sofer looked at the sugya. That you have two elements over here. You have an element of mominus, which I'm more like the way the Chazanish learned the Gemara. You have an element of mominus, which means loss for the nizik. You have an element of kapara for the mazik. So very nice. You want to be very firm on my back. You want to say that we have to give the mazik the more strict punishment to make sure he gets a proper kapara in Shemayim. Good, but what about me? So this Taisus really brings out, and the Chazon Ish is mitzayin to this Taisus, because this Taisus really drums home the point that the Chazon Ish was making, that well, you have a balancing act over here. On one hand, you want to give the Mamonis to pay back the damage. On the other hand, you want to give the Malkus to make the Mazik have his kapara. So Taisus says, no, here is going to be an exception to the rule. Here we're going to give, Bezdin's going to give the weaker punishment, because the weaker punishment will have a te'eles for the Nizik. So explains Taisus. So the Maram Shif has a very basic kash over here. Frektem Ram Shif, I don't get it. There's two places in the Torah where you pay and you don't give Malkus. What are the two places? So one of them is Chavala, and the other is Kasha Zalmim, Edom Zaymim. What does it mean by Edom Zaymim? Edom Zaymim means two guys walk in and say, Reuven owes Shimon $5,000. And then we find that these two witnesses were a bunch of liars. They're Edom Zaymim. So the halacha is that since they wanted to make Shimon Reuven pay $500, and they get Malkus for Lo Yisane, so we would say Mishalim Ve'en Eloike. They won't get Malkus. Frektem Ram Shif, in that case, right? In that case, there's no payment. They're not making any payments in that case. Why? Because we know the old rule that Edim Zoyim is Kasha Zomam Veloi Kasha Vasa. The whole idea of Edim Zoyim is only attempted. If actually it happens, you're not an Edim Zoyim. It's a very strange halacha. Right, two guys walk into Bezin and say, Reuven killed Shimon. So Bezin's getting ready to kill Shimon. And right before they kill Shimon, they realize that Reuven and Shimon are liars. So those two Edim, they get killed. But let's say they actually killed the person. So then the Mishnah says, Hargu ein neharogin. Again, it sounds very against logic, but that's the Chiddush of Edim Zoymim. The Chiddush of Edim Zoymim is all for attempted, not for actual. So therefore says, Taisviz, effective Ram Shif. So I don't understand how you explain the Sugi of Edim Zoymim. Let's see Ram Shif inside. So the Maram Shif is really asking a kasha. In fact, the Maram Shik, how do you explain Edim Zaymim? What do you tell me over there? The Torah says that he pays the money and he doesn't get the Malkus. But there's no victim over there. Right? Again, what's the case of Edim Zaymim? Reuven walks in, okay, we got to use a new person, right? Beryl walks in and says, Reuven owes Shimon $5,000. So Beryl wanted to make Reuven pay $5,000, so now Beryl has to pay $5,000. Aye, Beryl gets Malkus for Lysana. So the Torah says, no, Beryl pays, he doesn't get Malkus. Aye, Frank the Maram Shif, of those two possible punishments, which is the lighter one? Well, the lighter one is the Mominus. And yet the Torah says that he gets the Mominus. Frank the Maram Shif, what are you going to tell me? We're letting the guy off easy because we're worried about the victim. There is no victim here, because Reuven would have never paid the $5,000. Because the whole Edim Zaymim is for attempted, not for actual loss. So, Frektem Ram Shiv, how do you explain by Edim Zaymim the fact that the Mominus go, that the guy pays Mominus and not Malkus? It seems to be that he's getting off easy. That's the Ram Shiv's kasha. So the Ram Shiv answers, Umikan Ktsas, Raya Ktsas, the Mashakosav Ataisis Baalmo. So he says that this Taisvis is a Raya to another Taisvis above Kama Davdalim. Taisim Babu Kamad Avdal says a Gavaldig Chiddush. Taisvis says that normally I told you before that when it comes to Edim Zoymim, the rule is attempted but not actual coming to fruition. Let's say, for example, two guys walk in and say Reuven killed Shimon, so then Bezin's about to kill Reuven, so then they found the Edim Zoymim, we kill him. But if Bezin actually went through the process, these Edim Zoymim were so good that they duped the Bezin, and Bezin actually went through the process and they killed Reuven over it. And then a year later, we found that they were Zaymim. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, we don't kill the two Edim. Says Taisus, there's only one exception in the rule. That exception is Mominus. Mominus is the exception. Why, says the Maram Shif? In the third line of the Maram Shif. Umikan raya ktsas l'mashakas v'ataisis ba'alma, source number two. Here we have a shtickle raya, d'loi boi b'momen kashe zomon v'loi kashe rasa. You don't need kashe zomon v'loi kashe rasa when it comes to Mominus. Because if not, because you wouldn't be able to say that the Torah worries about the money, because there is no nizik when it comes to Edim Zaymim. However, says Taisvis, but by Mominus, it's the exception to the rule. What does that mean? It means that by Mominus, it's possible that Reuven and Shimon will come in, I'm sorry, Beryl will come in and say, Reuven owes Shimon $5,000. Reuven will actually pay Shimon the $5,000. And then Bezdin will say, oh, Edim Zaymim, let's make those Edim pay, and they will actually have to pay. So in that case, they actually are going to cause a loss of $5,000 to Reuven. Now, what's the basic kasha on this Maram Shif? It's not a real loss. You know why? Because the 5,000 that Reuven paid Shimon, Shimon will just give back to Reuven. It's not like we're talking about Hezek over here, where there was a loss of money. Reuven accidentally gave Shimon $5,000 because Bezdin made a mistake. So it's not really that the Edom caused Reuven $5,000 worth of loss, because it was a fake loss. It looked like a loss, because for the 3 weeks that Bezdin paskin, Reuven gave Shimon the $5,000. And the moment Bezdin realizes they were Edom's Zaymim, so then Bezdin goes to Shimon and says, Shimon, give him back the $5,000. So Shimon gives back the $5,000, Reuven's back to being whole. So when the Edom pay, you can't really say that they're paying to ping back the loss of Reuven, because Reuven didn't really incur a loss. Unless you start telling me fancy shtickle tires, we're talking about cases where Reuven paid Shimon, and then Shimon has no money. Shimon goes broke. So now that Shimon's broke, Reuven's never going to get his money back. So now we have a case where the Nizik loses money. It's a shtickle kimto to say such a case.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Maybe there's two different lumdas. Maybe eight of Zomim before what is Kashu Zomim, that's one type of payment. But once they actually go through with it, and the guy actually has to pay, that's a different type of payment. That's you restoring the guy's loss. As opposed to Kashu Zomim, that has nothing to do with anything. You didn't cause the guy any loss.
So I was going to get to what Seth, I think, is alluding to, is that maybe the guy's a Kashu for the Ram Shiv never gets off the ground. Maybe the whole chiddush of Edom Zomim is a victimless crime. That is the chiddush of Kashas Amam. That's how the Torah structured it. The Torah said every time you're paying or every time you're doing Kashas Amam, it's never because you did any loss. And that's the chiddush of Kashas Amam. That's how the Torah structured it. The Torah structured paying in a situation where you didn't cause it's all about attempts. Meaning, Edom Zomim is a mechudish nika parasha, where the whole chiddush of the Torah is attempted crime, not actual crime. And the Meila, it's never about being mafsid the chasarin. Because by Edom
Zomim. Rabbi, when they make. If they say Beryl owes the money,
mm-hmm.
and they go through with it,
right?
And then he pays whoever it is they said he owes the money to.
Right.
That guy took the money. He didn't owe him the money, so he really committed a crime.
Right, but he'll return the money and everything will be good.
Well, isn't there a punishment on him for taking the money? He knew that the Edom were lying.
Yeah. He's not a nice guy. He was complicit in a crime. But the question is, when the Edom Zomim lied, did they cause anyone a loss? And the answer is no, because it was a temporary loss. For those weeks where Reuven paid Shimon, during those weeks, the Edom Zomim caused a loss. But because eventually it will be proven otherwise, and they'll give back the money, so then there was never really a long-term loss. It's not like the case of damage, where you broke the guy's glasses, his glasses are broken. Here it was only a temporary loss of money, which was ultimately replaced after everyone worked out what was wrong. That's my kasha with the Maram Shif's pshat. But in any case, if you take a look over number three...
Where do we know that it's only if it's a long-term loss and not a short-term loss? Meaning, let's say the guy needed the money. Now, also, he has to make a chasen for one of his kids. Now, he's got borrows with him. Where does this concept come in? You know, long-term loss versus short-term loss?
Okay, okay. Fear. It's a fear argument. That's probably what the Maram Shif holds. The Maram Shif probably holds that we don't look at the way I'm looking at it is memalech chesroinei. So I look at chesroinei as long-term. Was there a chesroinei? You're saying no. For those 3 weeks, there was a chesaron mamonis. So for those 3 weeks, there was a victim who lost money and was out money, and that's considered to say that there was a nizik. Yeah, I'm with you. I hear you. I hear you, Michael. I think that's probably pshat in the Maram Shif. I'm just looking at it from a bigger picture. Overall, the money will be returned, so there was never a loss. So you're saying no. For those weeks, those days, however long it was relevant, that guy was out money. So there was a victim in this crime. There was a victim. It wasn't a victimless crime. There was a loss. I will fix it later on. Okay, but Lamaisa, for those duration of the time, he was out money. I hear. So it's a chayra what you have to say in the Maram Shif to be Masburim. I agree. Now, if we take a look over in Rabbi Chanan and Kovit Shurim, Rabbi Chanan uses this Taisvis for something else. Again, the chayra we see from this Taisvis that by Edom Zomim, there really is a victim. Now, most of us, again, maybe one time we should discuss learning Mesachas Makis. It's such a jam-packed Mesachta. Now some of the yeshivas start learning it. A lot of yeshivas learn it Summersman after Pesach. The Mir learns it, and other yeshivas learn it. It's such a jam-packed Mesachta with goodies. But everyone thinks, oh, Makis, you learn in elementary school, you go weiter. It is such an amazing Mesechta. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky has a sefer this thick. Shuri Reb Shmuel on Mesechas Makis. It's mamish like a thick, fat sefer with just chedushim all over. But in any case, Taisus has a kasha like this. Taisus by Yah said that the only reason why you give the mumminus and not the malchus is because you're worried about the victim. So Maram Shif has a kasha. What do you do about Edom Zoymim? Edom Zoymim, there is no michval. No one's losing any money because it's only attempted. So Maram Shif said, this is a right to Tyson Baba Kama Dav Dalid, that by mumminus we don't say kasha don't like kashos. But Rabbi Chanan goes a different angle. Rabbi Chanan brings a kasha from the Yireim. One of the Rishonim, that the Yireim has a kasha. The whole kasha Zomam is a chiddush. Right? Let's say, for example, again, Beryl comes to Bezin and says, Reuven owes Shimon $10,000. Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. $10 million, numbers that I have no shaykhis to. Whatever, $100 million, whatever it is, right? So Bezin's about ready to make Reuven pay $100 million. And a moment right before, two guys run in and say, Beryl's a liar. Beryl could have never seen that transaction. Beryl was a liar. So good, Edom Zoymim. So the Aloch is Kash Zomam, Lasa is Lochiv. So now Beryl has to pay $100 million to Reuven. Frekti Yireim, I don't understand. Why does Reuven get a dime? Reuven was a victim of nothing. What did Reuven? Reuven never lost any money. Reuven never had to go to Reuven never had to go to jail. Reuven never got a lien on his house. What happened to Reuven? Nothing. He was it was sad that he owes money, but there was never any real hefset to Reuven. So why does the money go to Reuven? I understand, Beryl needs to get penalized. Beryl's a bad guy. He lied in Bezdin, he attempted to cause Reuven a big loss. Beryl's a thug, don't be mishadich with Beryl, we punish Beryl, we make him pay money. Why should the money go to Reuven? What does Reuven deserve the money?
He said about any kind, guess about Kefil, guess about Galavahe.
100%, that's correct, right? Same kasha. The Yireim asks to grab it, and we'll have to get to maybe one day, if Edom Zoymim is a kanas, or if Edom Zoymim is a mumminus. It definitely is part of the question. So, frak the Yireim, menor londet ashrumi kashizavim hein lemi shehidu olof, shema yuchu l'shav lemi sheyitzu bezdin. So, frak the Yireim, a general kash and Edom Zoymim. Why should the money go to the Reuven? What did Reuven do? So, I know someone's already going to tell me no, but, you know, Reuven had to go to court, and, you know, they said stories about Reuven, and, you know, once you have to go to court, even if you come out clean, already is a race, people are already not going to want to be mishadach with you. Because you know the way the story works, people only hear the rumors, they never hear the end of the rumors. They never hear, oh, but it's not true. They only hear, oh my gosh, I heard Reuven was brought to court and he had to pay $100 million. They never heard of it yet, but the guys were liars. That part of the story always gets dropped off sometimes. So again, I guess we could probably be masber from a logical point that, you know, Reuven had to go to court, he had to hire an attorney, he had to spend time in court, he had to fight it, okay, maybe we can dream up, you know, logical swars. But the Yireim, frak the kasha, frak the Yireim, why does the money go to the nichla? So Zok Rebbe Chanan. Yeah.
How can
you
ask a question?
So that's Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat, like Chaim is saying, the Das Guf of the Chiddush. The Chiddush in Edom Zoymim is that although it's a victimless crime, right? Afalpi, can you give the money to the victim? Meaning, yeah, I think Chaim's right. That's Guf of the Chiddush of Edom Zoymim. Kasha Zoma means that I attempted to hurt you. And like we said earlier, the Chiddush of Edom Zoymim is that the victimless is really a victim. You say, oh, it's a victimless crime. No one got hurt. No, someone did get hurt. Where's the loss? Okay, it's not always about loss. So Rabbi Chanan says, no, this Taisvis is the answer. Why? Because in this Taisvis, you see what? Says Rabbi Chanan. Well, the different Taisvis can't is Yashiv Kushasai. Based on this Taisvis, we can answer this Kasha. The name of the Tzarech L'shal Nanidim Davka L'shayach Tirutzim. Frek Taisvis, what do you mean? If you're telling me that Kasha Zalam doesn't go to the Nichval, so then how could you tell me that it's not a Tkuri Itkar? What was Taisis Kasha? Giving Mumminus is really the lesser of the two. So why do we give the lesser of the two? Because we're worried about the Nichval. But Zokta Bochanan, if you're going to give the money to Bezdin, so then what are you going to tell me? We really should have given the guy a stronger punishment. We went easy on him because we were worried about the victim. But you didn't give the money to the victim. You gave the money to Bezdin. Elamai says, Obachon, you see from this Taisis that you got to give the money to the Nichval. And since you're giving the money to the Nichval, but again, it doesn't answer the kasha. Why? Because the nichval is not a real nichval. The guy is good. You're giving the money to Reuven, who had attempted claim on him. But Sof, he didn't pay anything. So the chayru, you have to say for Rabbi Chanan is that Rabbi Chanan is saying Das is the chiddush of Edom Zoymim. Chiddush of Edom Zoymim is for attempting to slander someone, for attempting to make someone pay money, you become the nichval. Not like the Maram Shif is saying that he's the Nichval because of the Hoshtikul Torah if he would have paid. No, I think Rabbi Chanan is not like the Maram Shif. I think Rabbi Chanan is saying the Chiddush of Edom Zoymim, like Chaim was saying, for attempting to make a guy pay money, we call that Nichval. That's also called Nichval, even though the guy's not out of dime. And he never was going to be out of dime. But that's the Chiddush of Edom Zoymim. And how do I know that? Because the Torah said you pay him. The reason why the Torah said you pay the guy you testified about, even though he has no real rights to the money, because that's the Chiddush HaKrah of Kasha Zomam. The Chiddush HaKrah by Kasha Zomam is pay to the guy that you attempted to cause a loss, even though you didn't cause a loss, but we look at this guy as if he obtained a loss. Again, more negeya to the sugya of Edom Zoyman, but it's definitely an interesting ha'ara from Rabbi Chanan. One last kasha on this Taisvis from the Paris Yosef. If you look over here, number in the source for the Paris Yosef, Stamazeh has a very geshmaka kasha on Taisvis. What did Taisvis do over here? Taisvis says a guy does a crime that has two punishments. He punches the guy in the face and he breaks his glasses, so he owes him money for breaking the glasses. He has to get Malchus for punching him in the face. So Taisvis says he should get the stronger of the two punishments. Why does Taisvis assume she got the stronger of the two punishments? Because Taisvis is mitzayin to Gemara and Sanhedrin. What was the case in the Gemara and Sanhedrin? The case in the Gemara and Sanhedrin was a guy did two crimes. Not one crime with two punishments. A guy did two separate crimes. He went on a killing spree. I'm a shogun. Went on a killing spree. Shot people here, shot people there, did this, he did a bunch of crimes. And now when Bezin starts to tally up his bill, he has a bunch of different death sentences. Right? So now Bezin has to figure out, well, which death sentence are we going to give him? So, in fact, the Paris Yosef, he says, "V'koshali, dohadu yeshloimar, dohasam shenischayv shtei misas al beis averus." It's a very bad sushtal Taisvis is making. In that Gemara over there, you did multiple crimes. Imkein amaylo nadonu al avera chamura. So then I hear, if a guy does multiple crimes, right, he shoots someone and then he does avodah zara and he's boiling and everything. Right, guy goes on an avera spree. So then we sit down and we say, listen, the guy has 100 death sentences. You can't give him all of them. So let's try to get him the top of the top. Meaning it makes sense to give him the stronger one because Lamaisa, he did many averis. This is a different case. This is not the pshat that the guy did a bunch of averis. He did one avera, which has built into it two einshim. So then when you do one avera, which every time you do this avera has built into it two einshim, then the Torah has a system. Maybe in that case, you don't get the stronger punishment. You can only have me a you can only ask a kasha that you're letting the guy off easy when the guy does multiple crimes, and then we have to figure out which one to give him. Here you did an avera, which the Torah already set the system. The Torah said that you can't give the guy both. You can only give him one. So the Torah said, when a guy does a crime that has this, this is what he gets. This is the punishment for the crime. So what are you asking me he's benefiting? No, this is the punishment set out by the Torah for the crime. As I fact the Torah says. So he gives an interesting answer. He says, the kash is like this. What would happen if you punch a guy in the face and you don't break his glasses? And in that case, there is no damage. So then, avada, you get malchus, right? But when there is a shavapruta, then you do get exempt. Meaning, what he's really trying to show you is he's trying to show you that these are really two separate things that come together. Meaning, he wants to basically say that when you hit someone and cause a mumminess, it's the same thing that's going on an avera spree. It's two averas that were kind of put together. We were saying that every single time you punch a guy in the face, you have both. He's saying that's not true. Not every single time you punch a guy in the face, you have both. So therefore, it's like you did two crimes that happen to have come simultaneously together. Oh, so whenever you have two crimes that come together, so the Torah says you give him the stronger of the two. So for Taisa Kasha, give him the stronger of the two. Okay, we're going to skip the Pnei Yeshua just out of time because I want to really finish up. But let's see a Gevaldika Hafla. Moridika, Moridika Hafla. Zok the Hafla like this. The Gemara has a shaila, which one is more chomer, which one is more kal? Is mamonis more kal, or is misa more kal? So most of us read this Gemara, we say to ourselves, it's very nice, it's a psychological analysis, not negei halacha l'maisa. Zok da hafla, it's very negei halacha l'maisa. Why? Zok da hafla number 6. Mashma da hashas misafka le'boha. The Gemara doesn't know which one is stronger. Is misa, is malka stronger, or is mamonis stronger? Ulechayra nafkamina tuva ledina. Says da hafla, there's a major halachic nafkamina between this question. How could it be? The imim moina l'chumra says the afla. Let's say moina is l'chumra, which means that when you have two crimes, two punishments, mamon and malchus, the stricter of the two is the mamonis. Im kein, afilu hecha dechayiv malchus mitzad acher. Zok the afla. Let's say a guy's chayiv malchus not because of the crime per se, but for something else. Kigoin hachoyiv biyomtiv biyemakipurim. Zok the afla. What happens if you punch a guy in the face on Yom Kippur? Now you guys are fighting over who's going to get psichel in the ilah, and you decide to punch the guy in the face so you can get psichel in the ilah. I guarantee that's not a school for anything, but okay. But in any case, the guy punches the guy in the face on Yom Kippur. So we know that there's a lav of Yom Kippur, plus the lav of Lo Yosef, the lav of Hakor. For Kled, the Haflo, what would happen in such a case? Would the Mominis still beat out both lavin, the lav of Lo Yosef and the lav of Yom Kippur? Or would the lav of Yom Kippur not beat out the Mominis? Sok the Haflo, Givaldik. Do you say no? Since Mominus is so chomer, it's so important to pay the money, it beats out everything. But says the Haflo, but let's say it the other way. Let's say you hold Mominus is actually lower than the other Malkus. Why? Because the Mominus is stronger. Because the lav of Chaval is weaker. Why is the lav of Chaval weaker? Because it's a weaker lav. Let's say the Mominus is not going up against the lav of Chaval. It's going up the lav of Yom Kippur. If Mominus is Taka Kal, right? If Mominus is Kal, why is Mominus Kal? Because it's going up against a lav of Lo Yosef. What happens when the Mominus is going up against another lav, like the lav of Chaval B'Yom Kippurim? What wins then? Then says the floor, we don't know which one wins. He says, and that's Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, if you choyvel Chaver B'Yom Kippurim, you mishalim ve'ein aloike. Frek the floor, why? Why are you mishalim ve'ein aloike? Why are you mishalim ve'ein aloike in a regular case of Chaval? Because the Mominus is stronger than the lav of Lo Yosef. Because the lav of Lo Yosef is weak. What do you mean? But on Yom Kippur and Yom Tov, I have another lav to work with. Not the lav of Lo Yosef, the lav of Shabbos and Yom Tov. That lav is strong. So Claire the Haflo, Gavalda Geshayla. Why is it so posh to the Rambam? It's Takam Achoikis Meshainim. But why does the Rambam hold if you choyvel someone Yom Kippur? We still say Mishal Vein Aloike. Shouldn't that depend on how you look at Mominus? If you look at Mominus as a choymer, so then no matter what, Mominus is the Chumrah, you always give Mominus even no matter what lav you throw at me. Oh, but frek, the Hafla, but if Mominus is Taka really more Kal, and the only reason why I give the Mominus is because it's up against a weaker lav, what happens when it goes up against a stronger lav, like Yom Kippur, Yom Tif? What happens then? The Melo Zok the Hafla, that's going to be Pshat. The Rambam Paskins, as Choyvul B'Chavei Rabbi Yom HaKippurim is still Mishalem Vein Aloike. Frek, the Hafla, why is he Mishalem Vein Aloike? It only makes sense if you hold that Mominus is more Chumrah. But if Mominus is Mochal, Frek Taflo, why should it be that way? Okay, believe me that we might come back to this Rambam still one day. So let's.
Why isn't Chaval on Yom Kippur Issachoris?
I guess when you were Loi Masra for that. Just like by all the other cases, when you were Masra.
So, even without Hasra, the fact that the Issachoris in the background,
okay, good. But Lee Nader, I hope to come back to this Rambam in a few weeks and hopefully get it a little clearer. Okay, let's revise it. We're going to learn some Gemara. I know, it's a chiddush of the day. We're going to learn some Gemara.
So why was it Yom Kippur and not just Shabbos? What's the difference?
Because there's a separate lav to do chavol on Yom Tov, to cause damage on Yom Tov. It's a separate lav.
In addition to Shabbos.
Correct.
So Shabbos, Yom Tov?
And Yom Kippur, right. They have a separate lav. Okay, Belinda will come back to all these goodies. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. The Gemara is now trying to figure out how do we know Mishalim Vein Aloike. Zog the Gemara, top of seven left corner. Elo Goba Meidim Zoymim. The Gemara says, let's start from Meidim Zoymim. Ma Eidim Zoymim Deika Mamro Malkis. Vemoyne Mishalim Milkele Loki. Just like by Eidim Zoymim when Beryl testified that Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. And then he's found out to be a liar. The halach is he should get Malkis for lying and he should have to pay for Kashis Amam. Which one does he do? He pays. My Edom Zayim Deka Mamre Malkus Bemoyin Mishal Milki Loki. He pays. He doesn't get Malkus. Av Kol So Too Kol Heicha. Whenever Deka Mamre Malkus Bemoyin Mishal Milki Loki. So we spoke about this Rashi number 8. I still don't have a better Mahalach. Where Rashi says, what does it mean to learn from Edom Zayim? Like Rashi Memetzinu. What else would I have thought? What else would I have thought to learn from Edom Zayim? Okay. So Rashi the Ika Mamen. Where's the moment? The kash is amam. Umalkis meloisane. Malkis comes from loisane. We're going to learn later on. How do you know that, Taka? Okay, so the Gemara right now thinks we have a memetzino for Eidim Zayimim. Just like by Eidim Zayimim, where Reuven walks in the court, Beryl walks in the court and says, Reuven owes Shimon $100 million, and then he's found out to be a liar, so he committed two crimes, technically. He lied in court, and he tried to get money out of Reuven. So which one does he pay? So the Gemara says he pays and doesn't get Malchus. So we'll learn now, L'chala Terekula, B'shal V'Elek. Now the truth is, I'm not getting into it, but Taisus over here on our blot has a kasha. If Eidim Zayimim is a Knas, so then you can't learn from Knossus. So again, not our sugya, but something to think about. Zok to Gemara, not so fast. Mal Eidim Zayimim shekein Eidim tzrichim hasra. Nope. Eidim Zayimim is different, because Eidim Zayimim never needs to be warned. What does that mean, Zekrashi? Number 8. V'nen shin b'misa, oy b'malkes, oy b'mamon. And you will get your punishment, even though you were never warned. You'll still get Misa if you try to give Misa. You'll get Malchus if you try to give Malchus. You'll pay money if you try to pay money. The din hu shiadonu b'chamura ki ikatarti. Melezak d'gumar, Eidim Zoymim is taka chumra. Eidim Zoymim has a chumra to it. What's the chumra? That we make the guy get the punishment, even though he was never warned for it. Meaning Reuven's about to punch him, and Reuven's about to kill him with a gun. To Eidim walk over and say, you know, if you do that, you're going to get Misa. That's Asura. But by Kasha Zaman, there's no one standing there saying, you know, if you lie in court, that you're trying, you know, we warn him, you're not allowed to lie in court. But if we don't say, you know, if you lie about this, we're going to do it back to you. So therefore, Zakt Rashi, there's a chumra in Kasha Zaman. Every Kasha Zaman is be'etzim a chumra that you never got warned. And still the Torah says, you have Kasha Zaman. So we see Kasha Zaman is a chumra. That's why, Zogta Gemara, when you have conflict between two things, that's why you give him the Kasha Zomam, which is the Mominus and not the Malchus. Now, Rashi over here is a Pella, the Rashash. I didn't put it on the paper, I forgot. The Rashash has a Kasha on this Rashi. Rashi says, what are the three examples of Kasha Zomam? Misa, Malchus, and Mom, right? There's three things you could have tried to get someone else to get. Either Misa, Malchus, and Mom. Frek the Rashash, in the case where I tried to make Reuven pay money, Momin, that there's never Hasra for Momin. A guy's about to break someone's window. Someone says, oh, you better not break his window, because if you break his window, you're going to have to pay $100,000. Of course not. There's never Hasra for Mamanus. There's only Hasra for Misa. There's Hasra for Malchus. There's no Hasra for Mamanus. No one's ever mastered that if you break his window, you're going to have to pay. Or if you punch him in the face, you're going to have to pay. They warn you. If you punch him in the face, you're going to get Malchus. But there's never Hasra for Mamon. So for Ekta Rashash, why is Rashi throwing over here that every Eidim Zoyimim never needs Hasra, and you'll still get the punishment, whether it be Misa, Malchus, or Mamon? Meaning it sounds like from the Rashash that it's a chiddush that we make Reuven pay even though he was never warned to make him cause a loss. You never get warned before you cause someone a loss of mamonis. Lo imotzanu anywhere that there's asra for mamonis. So the Rashash says, k'dei nisbo, enechanami, we were just trying to bring out the point that the chiddush of Kasha Zomam is that when it comes to Kasha Zomam, you never need asra, which is a chumra, and therefore Eidim Zoyimim has a chumra to it, you can't learn out other places. Fine. But frak the Gemara, 1 second.
Yeah. I don't understand something, though, but by Eidim Zayimim, you could warn, like Rashi says, by something, Misa, Malchus, or Mammon, because you did a Misa. You can't warn somebody on a D-board to say not to say something, to say something.
No.
How do you warn Eidim Zayimim?
You can warn him and say, if you testify about Reuven and it comes out to be false, what you want to get to him, we're going to give to you. You could do that. I'm not sure why they don't do that, to be honest with you. You got the guy sitting in the court. He's sitting in the courthouse. He's sitting in the witness stand. You tell him, listen, buddy, you know if you lie, you get Malchus. He says, yes, I know. Why can't we say, by the way, you know if you lie and you want to make Reuven pay money, you're going to pay money. I personally don't know why we don't do that. Okay, it's probably Gemara.
Isn't there a difference? See somebody about to do a bad act, so then you go ahead and you warn them. But here, their witness is coming to testify. Why would you think that they're coming to testify falsely? You know what I mean? It's a bit of a stretch.
No, you just warn him that if you lie, you're going to, you know, why do they make you swear on the Bible when you go to court? They want to make sure you're going to tell the truth. So here also, we want to warn you just to make sure you're on the up and up. But 1 second, everybody, say, if mumminess is more cow, so frankly, Gemara, the imam, we're back to the Gemara number 7. The imam, no lekulahu, but if paying money is lenient compared to getting Malchus, so 1 second, now the Gemara doesn't make any sense. What are you telling me? That the reason why I give Kasha Zomam, the reason why I give the Mominus by Eidim Zoyim is because Eidim Zoyim is more Chomer, and that's why I give the Mominus and not the Malchus. 1 second. But if Mominus is Taka more Kal, it's the lesser of the two, so isn't it a Kol Shekein? Frankly, Gemara, Vimimimimimimimim Kuluhu, and if Mominus is a Kula, so let's work this out. Mominus is more Kal, and Eidim Zoyim is more Machmir. So even in cases where we're so Machmir, we still give you the lighter punishment. So Kol Shekein, by other cases, shouldn't we give you the Mominus also? So Gemara says, no. Malka Edom Zoyim is still different. Why? Says the Gemara, V'ima Mayna L'kulahu, Shekein Lai Asu Maisa. Edom Zoyim is still different because you didn't do an act. So what? So this is the Chayra Macholikis Rishayin. Rashi learns, V'ima Mayna L'kulahu, number 8, Ashkecham Ben Tzar Hekel. If Mominus is more kal, so you find the lesser element, V'dinu Shiyodayin B'kala, and therefore for sure you should get the lesser punishment. Says the Gemara, no, Shekein Lai Asu Maisa, Ella b'dibura ba'alma me'anshe. Says Rashi, no, not so fast. Do you know why by Edom Zoyim we give the guy kashas alma and not malchus? That's because by Edom Zoyim the guy's really not such a bad guy. Why? Because what did he do? Did he beat up anyone? Did he hit anyone? Did he shoot anyone? He ran his mouth. Shekein lo yasu ma'isa means he never really hurt anyone. He ran his mouth. He never did a ma'isa. So therefore says the Gemara, that makes sense when you're talking about something like talk. A guy talked, so therefore we say, you know what? We'll give him the lesser of the two. But let's say in our Gemara, a guy went over and raped a girl, ma'anis a girl, ma'fata a girl, he did a ma'isa. So then the Torah says, no, then we're going to be more machmir. So the pircha, the way Rashi learns the Gemara is that Edom Zoyim is different, because by Edom Zoyim it was an actionless crime.
But at the end of the day, if the Edom Zoyim accomplished what they wanted to, then it should be...
Nice.
So they did actually cause the damage.
No, see, this angle of the Gemara is not a question of what you caused, it's a question of what you did. At the end of the day, I just spoke. I didn't really hurt anyone. I never touched anyone. I never roughed anyone up. I just spoke. I ran my mouth.
Well, I understand that, but if they ran their mouth, but if a guy was killed, he's still the same Edom Zoyim that he was, but the halacha should be different then.
No. If my words got someone into trouble, the Gemara thinks that means I did not such a bad crime. Now, I would have argued, right? I think Robbie's argument is, let's not look at the action, let's look at the result. Let's look at what happened. This guy's out $100 million, right? Or this guy's going to get the death penalty. Very nice, all of those you're running out of your mouth cost me someone's life. But the Gemara at this point thinks that the fact that there was no action involved devalues, so to say, the severity of the crime. And that's why the Torah gives him Mominus and not Malchus. But Frek the Rajba, number 9, the Mamun of the Kush came out as a Maisa, even though talking is a Maisa, Mikomako Maisa Zutahu, says the Rajba, it's a small Maisa. Also Maisa Rabba. It's not like a guy that went over with a baseball bat and smacked the guy upside the head. And then the Torah says, no, we're not letting this guy off so easy. This guy's a ruthless act. Here the guy said, you know, he didn't hurt anyone, he didn't bother anyone, he just ran his mouth. But then the Rajba has another pshat, which many of you probably will like better. I know I like it better. Inami yesh lefarish, akin le'osu ma'isa b'mi she'im eschayiv olav. Kedamin horgu ein erog. Says the Rajba, no, you know what le'osu ma'isa means? It means that nothing ever came out of it. Because as we spoke about before, when it comes to Edom Zoyim, it's all attempted. So when it comes to an attempted crime, then the Torah says, okay, fine, attempted crime will be more makel. But when there's an actual crime, where you actually did damage, then the Torah is much more machmer. To me, that's a geshmaka pircha. You want to make me right that by Edom Zoyim, the Torah lets you get off with mominus. Yeah, that's because by Edom Zoyim, you really have a victimless crime. You didn't really hurt anyone. Masha Enkein, when it comes to, let's say, Oynus or Mefateh, where you definitely hurt someone significantly, Mecha Teisa, the Torah will let you get away with that punishment. Okay, so the Gemara, let's go back to the Gemara for a second. So the Gemara is stuck over here. We have no Makar for our Gemara. So the Gemara says like this. Let's try a combination factor. Says the Gemara, Ela Gomra Mitravayu. Let's learn from a combination of Edom Zaymim and Chavala. We'll learn from both of them. Katzar HaShav, a common denominator. Ela Gomra Mitravayu. Ma Tzar HaShav Shebehem. What's the common denominator between those two? Dika Mamnu Malkus. They both have Mominus and Malchus, and still, you pay, you don't get Malchus. So too, whenever you have a situation where there's two punishments come together, you give the Mominus and not the Malchus. It'll be a Tzad HaShavah, common denominator. Frak the Gemara, not so fast. But this common denominator has its own common denominator. Why? Because each one has its own Chumrah. Either Chavala has 5, and Edom Zoyim doesn't need Asra. So each one of its own has its own unique Chumrah. Now what's the obvious Kasha on this? I'm waiting for someone to ask me. Taisus has this Kasha. Every Tzad HaShavah is going to work like that. How does the Tzad HaShava come about? The Tzad HaShava comes about because I had two things. I wanted to learn from each one, and each one had a chumrah. So I gave up on each one, so I bring the two together. Fact the Gemara, well, if you're going to do that, so why don't each one's common denominators make them special? Yes, Frank Tyson, then you'll never have a Tzad HaShava. A Tzad HaShava, by definition, was structured because I had two things that each had something special about them, and therefore I couldn't learn out one from one, so I learned them out one from two. But if you tell me now that I take the two and put them together, so how do I ever have a Tzad HaShava? Okay, Tesis has that kasha. It's a cute kasha to think about, but it's really a shas kasha whenever you come across a tzad hashava. So, in fact, Tesis, fact, the Gemara, you don't have a tzad hashava. The imamayin lekuluhu, and if you hold mamonis is more kal, shekin yesh behem tzad hakal. They each one have something that makes them more lenient, and therefore you have no raya that you get to give the more chaim. Elo ulo, back to number 10, elo ulo, tachas, tachas, goma. Ah, ulo saves the day. It's not a memetzinu, it's not a anything, it's a gzera shava. Ah. What do you gain by throwing up your hands and saying Xerishova? Xerishova, you can ask many kashas. Once it's Xerishova, there's no room for kashas anymore, that they're not comparable, they're not similar, it doesn't matter. Xerishova is Xerishova. Where's the Xerishova?
Well, maybe that's Pshat and Rashi when he said Memetzino. You know how tomorrow's going
to
end.
Exactly. That's what I was going to get to. Thank you, Seth. Seth, that's what I was going to get to. That's what the Gemara tells us in the beginning. It's a Memetzino, and then the Gemara is going to change it to make it Xerishova, and therefore don't ask me any kashas. The only reason why.
Going in the beginning, you can't do that.
Right, Rashi was a shtickle giving you the heads up. The Rashi was bringing out the point.
But Rashi at that point, Rashi was in the Havami in the beginning of the Gemara.
Rashi's just letting you know that just letting you know that since we're holding now in the stage of Memetzinu, the Gemara is going to ask Pirchas. Mashiach, when we turn the page and get to Gzeir Shava, now all kashas are off, which Rashi gradually says by us also. So the Gemara says, what's Gzeir Shava? Siv Ochet says over here, Tachas Asher Ina. What's over here? I think we sometimes forget what we're learning. We're learning about Einis Mefate, right? By Einis Mefate, it says the word Tachas. Siv Hasa by Chavola, it says Ayin Tachas Ayin. Ma Hasa Memayinim Shalom Milkei Loki. Just like over there, when you have Mamonis and Malkis, you pay, you don't get Malkis. Av Kol Heichadika Mamon Umalkis Memayinim Shalom Milkei Loki. Very good. So the Maskanas HaGemara is, how do you know that when you have, at least by Einis and Mefate, how do you know when you have Mamon and Malkis, which one do you, let's say again, a guy is Ma'anis, his sister, where he can get Malkis, if he was not Masra the Kuris, he can get Malkis, but he also has to pay her. Which one does he get? So we have Xeris Shava, according to Ula, that says, in that case, he pays the money, he doesn't get the Malkis. Now, if you go with me to page 2, if I can do this, I don't know if I can do it. My tech is sleeping. Maybe I can pull
one second. Isn't the whole thing of Adam Zayman a chiddush and mechiddush lay alfinan? How come we don't? That's not an issue here altogether.
And I mean, in the Havamim the Gemara, where we wanted to learn out from it.
Yeah.
Tosfos talks about that kasha. Yep. It's a good kasha. I don't want to get bogged down, but Tosfos has that by us. That the whole Adam Zayman is a chiddush. How come it's in China? What are you going to learn from Bechol Torah Kulo? Yeah, it's a good kasha. Chaim, Eina Chanami. We shouldn't talk about it. Let's just see Rashi by us over here, page 2, Zok Rashi. The Gzeira Shava Hu Ulamidin Ve'emashivin. Says Rashi, no. Once you pull the Gzeira Shava card, there's no makashas anymore. It's different. Gzeira Shava, finished. So my shayla is like this. L'maskonas HaGemara. Do I have a right to learn out L'chola Torah Kula from this Gzeira Shava? Or is this Gzeira Shava limiting only to Chavala to Einis HaMafateh? If you remember, we had a Pnei Yeshua in the beginning of the Gemara. When the Pnei Yeshua started off the Gemara, the Pnei Yeshua wanted to know, was the Shail of our Gemara general? L'chol HaTorah Kula, how do we know Mama Mishal and Milki Lalaki? Or was it just specific for our Sugya of Einus HaMafateh? The Pnei Yeshua had two tzadim. So the question is, now that the smoke clears, now that we know the din of Mishal and Vein Aloike is learned out from Gzeir Shava, does this limit me only to where it says Tachas, which is Einus HaMafateh? Or no, can I now run with this to other places? So Kinira, it seems to be a machloikish rishonim. For example, if you look in Tosfos in our sugya, Tosfos writes, "Matzinu lemei melafi maskonazu deloy kamar ula demayin mishalom veloy loki el bahanet klas degali buhukra." Zok Tosfos, you should know the din of ula is only three places: where Adam Zaymim, where the Torah writes it; Chavala, where the Torah writes it; and by Ernest Mefatim, where we have Gzeira Shava. But we cannot now apply it anywhere else. That's the Shitas HaTosfos. Now the Pnei Yeshua has a kasha. He says, why not? Once I have this Gzeir Shava by Ernest HaMafateh, so let me take Ernest HaMafateh and use it and do Memetzin from Ernest HaMafateh to everywhere else. So the Pnei Yeshua deals with this. But Rashi, later on, says L'chorah not like this Tosfos. Rashi's over there going on the Gemara. The Gemara's going on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that.
Why look at his tricks of Bon Kachat?
Good.
The Torah is specified in three places, then it's only those three places.
Good, good. Good. So that Gufa might be told in this Machoikis Rishonim. Tosfos is going to say that if the Torah wrote it in two places, and the third place I come off with Gzeira Shava, that might be limiting it to these three places only. But Rashi seems to hold not like that. Rashi, on number 13, is commenting on the Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring in Rabbi Yochanan, which hopefully we'll get to soon, where Rabbi Yochanan argues on Ula. And Rabbi Yochanan holds no. When you have Mamon and Malkus, you get the Malkus, you don't get the money. So the Gemara asks, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold of Ula? So Rashi explains, who's Ula? The Gomar Gzeira Shava le'oin shei Mamon ve'loi Malkus. L'chol chayve mamenu malchus. So Rashi is saying, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold of Ula? Who's Ula? Ula is the one that holds that whenever you have mamenu malchus, you get mamenu not malchus. What do you mean, l'chol chayve mamenu malchus? All? Not all. It's only two cases. So the Achronim want to say that from this Rashi, l'chayru, you see that Rashi argues on Tosfos. Rashi holds that once I have the gzeira shava, tachas, from chavola to oinus mafate, I now have the right to use it l'chol atarikul. Okay, maybe we'll come back to this Machloikis Rishonim at some point. But I want to get an Akasha from the Marshal. So I did everyone a favor, instead of causing your eyes to strain, the Marshal is very small print, but the Marshal quotes the Marshal. So I'll take the Marshal's quoting of the Marshal, and then we'll go that way. Frak the Marshal, Akasha Azay. Frak the Marshal, Ula walks into town, and Ula tells us that I now know that when you're Ma'anis or Mafata a girl, in a way that has a laugh, and there's a chiyuv mamonis, I have a special limud from Chavala that you pay the money and you don't get malchus. Frekta mashallah gavaldik akasha. I'm sure everyone remembers on Daf Chav Testament Beis, that was like, I don't know, this is the 59th shir, so that's got to be like, I don't know, 2 years ago. We had a gemara. In the beginning when we started this parak, there was a gemara. The gemara wanted to know, how do you taka know that if you're ma'anis a chayvei lavin, that you have to pay knas? Because if you look in the parasha of Enes Mefate, the Torah writes a very important words. It writes, V'loy siya li'isha. One of the rules, and we spoke about this heavily also, one of the rules for Enes Mefate is you have to marry the woman afterwards. So the Gemara had a whole shayla. What happens if it's a chavi lavin? Right, let's say, for example, a koyin is ma'anis a grusha. So the Torah, he's not allowed to marry a grusha. So the Gemara had a tzad, maybe there's no chi of mamanis when you can't fulfill the v'loy siya li'isha. So the Gemara said, no, I have a word, ha naira, naira, I have a drasha to tell me that you still have to pay a knas. Fine, very good. So frek the marshal, 1 second. You're telling me I have gzeira shava from chavala. What does gzeira shava tell me? That whenever there's mamon and malchus, you pay the mamonis, you don't get the malchus. So frek the marshal, don't I automatically learn out from here that whenever there's malchus, you still pay the mamonis? That means that when it comes to oinus and mafate, whenever there'll be a case of mamon and malchus, you give the mamon and not the malchus. Doesn't that by definition tell me that by oinus and mafate, when there's a lav, which means it's a chayvei lavin, that you still pay? Doesn't that show me the bravest proof that chayvei lavin have oinus and mafate, have mamonis? The gzeira shava comes to tell me that when you have mamon and malchus by oinus and mafate, you pay the mamon. Why would I have malchus by oinus and mafate? The only way to have malchus by oinus and mafate is because the girl was a chayvei lavin. So this gzeira shava really tells me that chayvei lavin are subjected to the mamonis. So once I have ula, why do I need those drushes in Nafkav Tassam Beis? Once I see from this gzeira shava that when it comes to oinus mafate, you're going to have malchus and mamonis working together. What do you mean? Why am I going to have malchus over here? You're only going to have malchus because the woman you lived with is a chayvei lavin. That's why you're going to get malchus. And yet the gzeira shava tells me that you pay mamonis and you don't get malchus. So doesn't that show me crystal clear that by oinus mafate, you're going to have to pay it even by chayvei lavin?
Right? But the lav is what? Lav is in the setting of marriage or even in a maisa's nus.
So let's assume, for argument's sake, that you're already getting to the answer, Seth. Okay, you're mechavin to the teretz. Let's assume that the lav is in the actual living and the mela in the marriage as well. Meaning it's a woman, let's say, for example, it's a woman that I can't live with and the mela I can't be married to. So
yeah, but what's the law? Law is the time of the onus mafata. Does that mean he violated the law, or only if he tries to marry her is when he violates the law? If it's only at the time that he marries her, there's no kasha.
No, but if the law is, let's say for example, the law is a woman that you're not allowed to live with or marry, so then you'll be over the law the moment you're ma'anis her, as well not being able to fulfill the lois elisha. So you're getting to the answer. So what's the marshal's answer? Says the marshal. Let's read it from the marshal number 14. Cause of marshal. V'lekel ha'akshes, don't ask me a kasha im kain, lo mut boi trei kra. Why do I need two psukim to teach me that chayve lavin? Also have to pay mamanis parents and mefate, typically chayve lavin mehocha. Why can't I learn at all chayve lavin from this gzeri shavu? Do I yafin the gzeri shavu the tachas the mishalim? The fact that my child is kasha. If I have a gzeirah shavah that tells me that Enes Mefate, you pay and you don't get malchus, doesn't that by definition tell me that it's possible to have a case of Enes Mefate that has malchus? That's chavi lavin. So I see chavi lavin still has to pay. The nira doloi kosher means this is the mashal talking. To have a mina kosher in a ruy lekaimi potter. I would have thought maybe not. Maybe if I am honest a woman who I can't stay married to, I taka don't have to pay her knas. The gzeirah shavah yalav hecha the ball nida. Says the Mashal, but there is one case where you could have a chavi lavin, but there is what we call tefisas kedushin, which is a chavi nida, a boil a nida. Boil a nida, you're over a lav, but you can marry a nida, that's tefisas kedushin. So says the Mashal like this, if I only had the gzeri shava, I would say this, the gzeri shava shows me that if you boil a woman, who's, let's say, for example, a nida, so therefore you have a lav for living with a nida, but lamaisa, you could marry such a woman. So then the Gzeirah Shavah tells me that in such a case, you would pay money and not get malchus. But Zokter Marshal, what happens if I have a case of a woman who's, let's say, a real erva, a sister? You can't stay married to your sister. So then maybe an acharami. Then if a guy has boiled his sister, in that case, Itaka doesn't have to pay. Meaning the Marshal is splitting the two sugyas. He's saying one is a sugya on whether or not it's able, if knas is dependent upon marriage. And the other sugya is what happens when two things come together. So all I see from our Gemara, says the Marshal, is that when the two things come together, you get the Mominus and the Malchus. Good. So I can have a case where the two things come together and you still can't marry the woman. The Hainu, someone, let's say, for example, you have a Nida. So a Nida, you did the Lav, so now you get Malchus for the Lav, and you have Mominus for the Enes Mefate, and Grada, she's able to be married. So you have all three. But what happens in the case where you boil someone who you don't have marriage to? So maybe in Achanami, maybe in that case, you wouldn't have to pay the Mominus. The problem with the... Yeah.
I thought if you're borrowed either, it's a chayv kares. It's like just like one of the arayis, isn't it? Didn't we once discuss that? Why is
hecha it hecha delay asrube? When you weren't masrur for kares, you can get a lav.
You know, it's the only time it's chayv kares is if you're warm.
Right. So hecha delay asrube falls back to a lav. Right. So okay. So that's the Marshal's pshat. Now, one of the obvious kashas with the Marshal's pshat is it's very strange that the whole gzeirah shavah was just for one case of nida. There's so many cases of arayis out there. So according to the Marshal, it comes out that the whole Gzeirah Shavah, tachas, is teaching me one specific case of one specific erva. But the Marshal has a different kasha. Frek the Marshal, he says, v'hu doichuk. The mashma kol chavi lavim Gzeirah Shavah, tachas, yalav, the mishalim, the loki, the ing Gzeirah Shavah, the mechza. Frek the Marshal, 1 second. We have a rule. Ing Gzeirah Shavah, the mechza. So if there's a Gzeirah Shavah that shows me that chayve lavin, get malchus, get mominus, and not malchus, by definition, that should tell me that all chayve lavin are subjected to knas, and therefore mishalim ve'ena like. Now, I would have answered to the Marshal's kasha like this. Ein gzeirah shavah lemechtza means that I have a gzeirah shavah that tells me that when I have momin and malchus, I have to pick one of the two, so I pick the mominus and not the malchus. But our sugya is a different shayla. The shayla of aloy silisha is a question of whether or not you're even in the parsha of tashlumin. Very nice. Once you're in the parsha of Tashlumin, we have to say Gzeirah Shavah tells me that you do the Mominus and not the Malchus. But there's other dinim that apply. Ein Gzeirah Shavah Lemechtza means that I have to learn the Gzeirah Shavah in every way. What do you mean every way? There are other dinim that limit the din of Mominus for Enes and Mefate. So what do you mean? You're going to tell me now that Gzeirah Shavah shows me that Chavi Lavin have Malchus and Mominus. Yes, the Gzeirah Shavah shows me when a Chavi Lavin will be possible to have Mominus and Malchus, it will have Mominus and Malchus. But there are other limitations and regulations to when someone has the rules of Enes and Mefate. Like, you have to be able to get married to the person. So that doesn't mean that the Gzeirah Shavah overrides those dinim. The Gzeirah Shavah doesn't come into town and say, okay, because of the Gzeirah Shavah, every Chavi Lavin has Mominus and not Malchus. No. The Gzeirah Shavah says, once I have a din of Enes and Mefate, where there's a Lav and there's Mominus, I do one over the other. But if I can't get to step one because I have limitations from the parish of Enes and Mefate, then the Gzeirah Shavah never comes to play. That's what I would have thought, Lechaira, to answer the Marsha's question. Okay, everybody, so Mitzvah Hashem, next Sunday we'll talk a little bit about Bechas HaTorah. Mitzvah Hashem, Tuesday night we'll be in person finishing up the sugya of Upsharons, as well as Wednesday night back here on Zoom for the Parashas here. I thank you all again for accommodating my schedule. I appreciate it, and be well. Have a good day, everyone.
Mazel tov, everyone.
Thank you.